Hey everyone, welcome to the Content Callout. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am Solitaire, but I have a wonderful guest up. I have Susan, who is, as she describes herself, a human behavioral hacker. Susan has over 2 decades of experience in this, and we have such a fascinating conversation about just reading people and how to do it in this new world that we're all navigating with masks and mostly Zoom calls. And so I really hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope you guys can take away some tips from her on how to sell and how to do what you need to do during this time and help read people and establish those relationships. All right. Well, Susan, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate you coming on the Content Callout.
Thank you, Amanda, for having me.
Okay, well, we're going to dive straight in because you, my friend, are the human behavior hacker, which I think is fascinating. So let's first start off that life might be a little bit different right now. You had mentioned that you have done some events where people are saying, "You can't read me, Susan, I'm wearing a mask." So tell me about that and tell me how that has kind of changed a little bit for you when people are saying that.
Well, the fact that humans are way better than any AI or machine reading other people with masks is something that started around 10 years ago. It was an incident in UK, and they tried to find out who were the people using CCTV cameras, and the people whose part of the face was covered. And they found out that the technology only was able to recognize 2 people. And just happened that some of the policemen from Scotland Yard who were involved on the event says, "Oh, it's this person, to the point that one human can recognize over 140 faces. Not everybody can do it. The program is called the Super Recognizers. So some people have the ability to recognize faces. The same way there are people who cannot recognize faces. It's a sickness called prosopagnosia, that one in every 50 people on the world cannot recognize faces. So on top of all that, with the mask, it's a mess. So when the pandemic started, it's like, okay, what we can do from our side to help people to not be afraid, because fear froze you, and we have a froze society, and everybody like, oh my God, we cannot do business. How are we going to talk with our clients? How are we going to establish a relationship? You don't have any more like, hey, I see you for coffee, or let's have a drink, or let's have lunch and talk about business. We need to establish a different interaction. But it's still some first responders and some salespeople and some people still need to be interacting with other with masks. So we developed this program called Reading Faces with Mask, showing that actually when you have this part of the face covered, you have less distractions. Because most people paying attention to your lips and paying attention to your smile, like it's happening here. But actually the real smile happened on the CrossFit. So actually if you shape your eyebrows, people is going to freak out. We have done it, and sometimes I do it for fun. I paint my eyebrow the same color of my skin, and people are like, what is wrong with you? Like, that's how much eyebrows show your expression. So let's start for micro-expressions. From the 7 universal micro-expressions, all of them happen in your eyes and your eyebrows. The most difficult to find out is contempt, that is in one side of the face. It's the only one who is only side. But when you do contempt, that is this, your eyes change. So if you put it on the context, you can catch if somebody is having contempt in their face. If I'm smiling, I'm afraid, mad, everything happened in this part of the face. So when we stop thinking and paying attention to the mouth and we start paying attention where really things happen, actually made it simple. So having your face covered when somebody is trained to, when somebody practice, actually you can narrow the results. How you practice this? Go to the bathroom, look in a mirror, put a good light in and cover your face and start doing the expressions. And ask for your friends and peers or people in your house doing the same. So the way you says, oh, show me how mad you are. And you can learn and develop another sense. I says, one of the reasons that I think we can get something positive from this is that based on that we are cover our faces and we have more Zoom meetings, is that we can reconnect again. We can develop a second sense, that is start paying attention to the words and the body as a complete. But most important is understanding emotions, because we are soon emotions before. Now we can really go deeper and understand it. And the second part that I'm well known for is reading faces with masks through physiognomy, face reading. As I told you last week, we did a live show where people were sending pictures with masks. I didn't know who the people was. They were live. I didn't see their faces beside the pictures. And I read everyone. And nobody denied that the reading and the profile that I did on them was correct. Why? I can see your ears. I can see how you intake information. I can see your forehead and your eyebrows. I can know how you process information. I can see your eyelids and I can see your level of intimacy. I can see the top of the nose. I can know how you approach decision and how fighty you are. Even some masks allow you to determine the size of the chin for where the mask is sitting. Actually, if you start looking in pictures with masks, you're going to determine some masks like look bigger, even though it's the same mask, because it has to do with your tenacity. So having the chance to go to what you really need as a sales rep, that is knowing how to communicate with a customer. If you have a visual customer and you need to do a discovery call or you need to do a demo, what you need to know is that you need to jump in visual aids as soon as you can. And if you don't have visual aids, what you can do is use your hands. But you know, as a person, you need to quantify things. You need to take the person to the visual experience, even though if you want to sell a tangible product and you don't have the chance to meet the person in person. Actually, I was doing training in a couple of dealerships and says, how are we going to do this? Like, well, we were talking how to even do a test ride with a customer who is not present and you had it on the phone. So it's taking the customer with your phone inside the car and making live the experience. And people are like, how are you going to sell cars online? Well, they made in the quota and they're selling more than selling before because they make people get the experience. Now, if you have a person with big ears and compared to your face, it's a person who like consistency is going to wait on the words. And they're not going to interrupt because they want to capture every word you're saying. And sometimes it's the people who's going to be shy, not talking, and going to be looking down. And what is going to happen is that you say, like, oh, my God, this person is not paying attention to me. What is going on? And they can repeat the conversation word by word because they were really, really paying attention. Now, I know how I need to get information inside your brain. Now, how you process has to do with the forehead and the shape of the eyebrows. So if I have that, now I keep selling. Doesn't change. And if you add that to body language, your body language and other people's body language, you still can have communicate. If you're going to have a meeting, I advise 100% three things that you need to do. A is the content that you want to give to the other person. Either you do it in person or do it in a video, the content is still the most important thing. Second one, the sound. Get a good microphone. For example, I forgot one of my windows open and I can hear one of the track going and I know my microphone is really good, so it's going to be get an audio. But I don't have a voice and most people don't know how to manage their voice in a video, how to modulate your voice. I've been doing videos for a long time, so I invest a lot in the microphone because if I'm going too high, my voice is not nice. If I'm going too low, you're not going to understand me. So invest in a good mic. So the sound of my voice and the weight, and you can understand the levels I use. Like it says, hi, Amanda, how you doing? Hi, Amanda, how you doing? Hi, Amanda, how you doing? So nice. It's a different the tone of the voice. So if you're using a good mic to help you modulate, to express more consistency on what the words you want to do, great. Another one, the background. Most people is fixated in what they look into, but what happened in your background? Was funny having meetings on the car or meetings on the kitchen counter, but now we go to a level that you need to show professionalism. I cannot talk to you about how professional my service are when my bed is undone, or I have the piling of clothing on the back. And the four, that is a key, show your hands. If I only see your head like you're beheaded and I can see the roof, I don't know what is going on. We have this paleo memory where If I don't see your hand says, hey, Amanda, nice to see you. We have a really good, nice podcast. It's going to be huge. And I'm going to talk about 4 points. It's weird, no?
Yeah.
So if I'm talking with a client, if I want to express something, I need to definitely use my hands. So, hi, Amanda, how you doing? Lovely to see you. It's a pleasure to be with you now.
Mm-hmm.
I use my hands to show you and accompany. So we think that wherever we not see the hands, something is going on and it's look weird. So make sure from the umbilical cord to your head, you can give a little space if you want and give a spin and make a frame of yourself. If you can conquer that and it's pleasant to hear you and it's pleasant to see you, I'm going to be more propense to want to talk to you. Another thing that I do, at least in my calendar, I ask people, do you want to do a Zoom call or you want to do a phone call?
Mm.
If the person want a phone call, it's like, I lost my visual opportunity. Well, no. Again, sound the content. Make sure that you are in a calm space and send something visual in advance to the person you're going to be talking. Maybe 5 minutes before. Or you even though can do Zoom without this kind of video conference, without the other person showing on the camera. So people is so burned out that when you want to establish a good rapport with a client, you need to give the client the opportunity to decide how they want to communicate. Your work as a sales rep is to utilize and respect that, because if you push into a client to a situation they don't want to, you already have a person who is like rejecting the situation. So it's adapting to others. And you need to be respectful of your time too. For people who's introvert or shy, be self-conscious. 9 hours a day on the video is too much. So know yourself first, because if you look weird and you feel weird, you are showing weirdness. When I get nervous, I get really, really weird, verbally and physically. So I know that I need to measure the quantity of videos that I do a day. So just make sure that after a video, make a block of 15 minutes to 20 minutes to do something completely different or prepare for the next call or take notes of the call. If you jump in 1:30 to 2:30, 2:31 to 3, so not, it's impossible. Even though if you're an extrovert and you like to interact with others, it's going to be a consequence on you. So the same happened with your customers. Mm-hmm. So using behavior to break the bridge that most people think that we have in this way to communicate is the only way you can make it. Actually, I was talking with a person who does sales hiring because they want me to go through a couple of candidates. And says salespeople are getting back to work faster than other people. Why? Because companies understood this is not going to happen in 3 months. And the only one who can be the mechanic movement on a company is sales reps. So if you learn behavior and you are camera ready and you show you can do it, you already have way more possibilities than other sales reps.
That is very interesting too, because, you know, a lot of people say this video conferencing system, only doing things remote, like you cannot build that rapport. And now that you've said the thing about the hands, I realize my hands aren't in the screenshot. I was like, oh, I got to back up. But it's the thing that we used to do, the handshake. Some of the old adage things were like, you look directly in the client's eyes, you shake your hand, or there used to be this old like reception trick where you would answer the phone and you're supposed to like smile before you pick up the phone so that the smile translates through the line.
Actually, like, it's true.
Is it true? Okay.
In my sales training, I use a couple of things that people look odd, but after they see the results, they like it. I show a video then 2 minutes where people is saying the same phrase in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the people need to take notes. What do you think is happening now? The person is happy, is sad, and people take notes. I would say people get between 75 to 90% right what are the expression, because I show the same video now uncovering the faces and people get blown away and like I didn't see the face, how I knew that was sadness. Well, because your brain, the same way you can play the piano without maybe knowing, not knowing, or maybe cooking without having done it before, we have that coding. We are not utilizing and not expressing that sense. So again, remember when I told this is an opportunity to develop a new sense where we can develop deeper and more meaningful relationships with others, because you need to start really paying attention. And the ones who really going to make it again are the ones who use those kind of things. And smiling is equal to 3 hours of human interaction. So if you start a video smiling, hi, how you doing? Be sincere. Don't become weird, please. And the way to do is watch funny videos. So that it says always use time between calls. Sometimes you have a bad call, but the next one doesn't need to be bad. So you disconnecting and watching something funny is going to make your oxytocin. And you know what? Even though the other person is mad, smiling is more contagious than the flu. Even Coca-Cola did studies. We did a series called Social Experiment, where we show everybody around the world putting people in sad ways, and they suddenly start laughing for no reason. In the beginning, people look at like, that person is crazy. Can you believe after 5 minutes, everybody start laughing uncontrollably? You can go to our YouTube channel or Google it. Laughing is contagious. You Google for that, and you're going to find ton of videos showing that you can make people laugh if you're laughing naturally. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's contagious. So if I'm smiling, I make you feel comfortable. I look relaxed. Do I look like, oh my God, I have an interview? No. I took my time. I break my day half an hour before. I get my chamomile tea to make sure my throat is okay. I even told you I have stomach ache today, but It's not your fault or the people who's watching this video fault. So I need to put the best of myself. So I prepare for that. Well, a sales call is the same. You need to be prepared the same way you would be dressed if you're going to have a drink with a client, or the same way you're going to be ready when you're going for food with a client, for lunch, whatever. You get ready. So this is not different. You need to get ready.
Mm-hmm. So let's just go back to something you said, though. You said it needs to be genuine. So that tells me that you're saying that people have like a finely tuned BS meter a little bit. So, for example, if I started this call and I was like, all right, I'm going to come in. Hi, Susan. Like, you'd be able to tell right away, right? Like, there's a fakeness factor is what you're saying?
Yeah, you can determine that on a video and you can determine that on a call too. One of the things that happen a lot is people is not ready when they need to be ready. For example, I have a camera who have a top. I'm going to show you, tell you. So I can get ready. So when I put the zoom, so I'm sorry, I block you. So what I do is I block my camera to make sure in case just I need to readjust myself or whatever. So when the person jump, I don't look awkward. Because when you're waiting for somebody in a call, you start doing awkward thing because you look in yourself like, oh, hello, here. And just the people catch you doing, because it's natural, because we use this as a mirror. So we check ourselves all the time. So awkward is horrible. So try to have a camera or cover the lens with the sticker and take it out when the person comes. Another one like, hey, can you see me? Those things that, because we are not ready, we didn't went through training to know how to do this. We went from, I see you tomorrow, but to, you never come back to the office. So being normal in this abnormal, stressful situation is not easy, but can be conquered. We spent the last month training people how to do virtual body language, and even do how you use technology, how to sit in a corner in your house to look professional. And the truth to be told, when the first client asked me for that training, I was thinking it was a joke. But that client recommended me with another one and another one and another one. And the majority of people asking for the training are sales reps, because the craft of selling can be taught, can be learned, and some people is even natural sales reps. But you need to use behavioral, you need to use numbers, you need to use a statistic in order to get to the top. And this is one of the most important moments where you need to understand the difference between someone who have a certification from Cosmopolitan, and I'm sorry, I know I sound rude when I say it, or when somebody knows what he's doing. So crossing your arms is not negative. Looking to the left on the right is not true. There are a lot of things, the myth that people has been teaching for years, they're incorrect. Why? Because they threw some behavior in order to get the training, but they don't know what they're talking about. And the truck happened again. So they don't know what they're talking about. So behavior become crucial today. because you need to compensate for all the things that you cannot do in person. How you do that, being ready for this.
So let's then talk a little bit about sales reps. You said that some people are natural salespeople. They have that within them. But what if you're not, but that is your chosen career? You talked about being genuine. How do you maintain being genuine, being who you are, with having to do these sales? So for example, I'm a little bit more introverted, which some people find very surprising. But if I have to do it, I will do it, like you said. But is there ways to kind of like train yourself a little bit, or should you maintain true to who you are and just find a way to do it?
When you train yourself, you don't stop being genuine.
Okay.
So what you do is, like, for example, if you decide to lose weight, you're not changing who you are. You're skinnier. So this is the same. We have the concept that training, it's stop being genuine. It's start being not who we are. And one of the misconceptions, and I always say, Myers-Briggs is not to decide if you're going to hire someone. It's to know how to put your team together. Why? I will never use Myers-Briggs for deciding to hire someone. But when I have somebody new on the team, the first thing I ask is to do the Myers-Briggs, because I want to know who they're going to be working better and what are the levels of introversion and extroversion. Why? I'm extremely, extremely introvert like you. I like my introversion's 98. And people like you, like, no, you are not. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. An introvert, when they talk about what they know, they come up more even aggressive than an extrovert, because they're more insightful. So when they talk and when they talk about what they know, they can buy the room. An extrovert is most used to what happened in introversion and extroversion is how you recoup energy. That's the reason I says, if you don't know your preferences in this situation with audio and video, you are done, because your introversion can get in the way. So what you learn, what you train yourself, is to maximize what you already have. We have something called ambiversion. Ambivert is a person like you and I, we can navigate both. Daniel Pink says, the one of the best gifts you can have is to be ambivert. Make the best sales reps, the best managers, and the best doctors. Why? Because you know when you need to step down, go, you pick up your fight, you can take distance and know what to do. And the truth be told, 65% of the population is introverts or ambiverts. So if you put an extremely extrovert person to a customer like you and I, when they come on top of you, I'm going to stop the call. I'm not going to buy because it's too aggressive for me. Having somebody that is extrovert selling to me, it's a no-no happen. So the same way you can know your preferences, the same way you can learn how to utilize who you are. For example, let's go back to introversion. If I know I'm an introvert and I can define that you're an introvert too, I have a level of communication that we can understand each other. But if you're an extrovert, I know that you're opposite than I am. I'm going to let you talk more than I'm going to ask you. So you're going to be managing the situation. Another thing in sales is to learn to do the 80-20, 2 ears and a mouth. Learn to listen. Learn how to do questions. If I says to you, Amanda, do you like the beach? What is your answer?
Oh, yes, I do. I love the beach.
Okay. What do you love about the beach?
I love the sea. I love how calming it is to look out at it. And I love just how relaxed I am on the beach.
Do you see how much more information I have on the second question than the first one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a very big difference.
It's a huge difference. Even though natural sales reps, they don't understand the difference. So that's what I'm saying. I don't teach you how to sell. Even my life depends on it. I don't know how to. But I teach you how to make questions. I teach you who you are first. Until you don't know who you are and how you are, you cannot communicate with others. And when I talk about preference, for example, what hand do you write? Right or left?
I'm right-handed, yeah.
If I ask you to write your name with the left hand, you can do it?
It's not nice, but I can do it, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about, preferences. Mm-hmm. If you know you write better with the right hand, but if you need to compliment and do it with the left hand, you still can do it. But you know what is your preferences. Mm-hmm. When you know your preferences in a stress situation, you know where you're going to tend to go to. When you know your preferences, you can be more effective at work. When you know your preferences and your team preferences and coworker preferences, you know who you pair when some of your preference is weaker to deal with a customer. So those are the things that you can learn. And says, wait a minute, this woman, what she's smoking? She asked what, how we can learn to be sales rep. That's how you learn to do it. To sell the product, to know about the product, you can do it by a manual, you can do it by a video. But establish original and sincere relationship with other, start with me. So knowing who I am, I can understand who you are. If I know how to make questions, who's going to open a conversation, that is a training for sales rep. If I know that do you have preferences, I can use it. If I know a little about you and know how to ask about you without being impertinent, that is a sales rep. I have the case, I was talking with a sales rep that she have a situation. She find out that a person that she's dealing with is about to get married. The website is open. When she Google, again, use Google to know your customers. She find out the website, oh, I'm getting married. So she started the conversation with, hey, how you doing? So nice to see you again. Congratulations on getting married. And says, who told you I want to talk about my personal life? Who? That was like a knife on the neck. And like, okay, let's go back to your interaction before. That person never asked you if you're married. She told you they're married. She told you where she goes to vacation. Did she talk about in any point about any personal thing? No. Well, make your flashcard, make a folder in your customer. Look for the tendencies, the word they use. I see what you're saying or I hear what you're saying. If a person is visual, if it's visual, tend to be more kinetic, might need to live the experience. When they're audit, they are going to be different. Then you need to use another words. You need to control your ambience. They're going to get way more distracted of any kind of noise on the back. So do your homework. And the person I was talking, it's the top sales reps. She made it to the top sales rep every year. Mm-hmm. And she managed that situation wrong. Actually, she didn't manage it wrong. She didn't do the homework that we trained her to do. So we came back and like, okay, I need to fix this. Okay, take the personal out of the table. Test your customer like you test your car when you're going to talk to them. Create a rapport based on what the person shared. How you do that? Go to the LinkedIn page and see what they're sharing. If the person have an open Facebook, for example, it's not private, and they're publishing all the time, save the polar bear, the environment, you know what you need to be talking, how you make them meet you. But always be sincere. Do not do it fake. That's the things I say is natural. If, for example, I need to talk to you, I will go to your Facebook, I'm going to go to your Twitter, and I'm going to go to your LinkedIn. If you never ever talk about your personal life or how you talk about your personal life, it's telling me what is the level of context and contact and text and conversation that I need to have with you. Now, if I have, for example, in your case, it's a white wall. It's nothing. I cannot read anything about that. So it's difficult. So I wouldn't need to do the exercise before. When we talk for the prep and says, Amanda, what is going to be the company under where we're going to be doing this podcast? Because I did another podcast with Mark. By the way, I always says he did the first podcast who gave me exposure. So I always says I own it a lot. I have a special part in my heart for him. He's been so nice to me. And he says, oh, it's going to be call out. What are the colors? Mm-hmm. Black and blue. Okay, I'm going to prep for that. And he says like, yeah, I have prep. Why? Because you interview me, I make your life easy. It's another way you approach. So mm-hmm. We jump on the call and you mention that the colors and the way. Why? Because I open a conversation because I put attention to the details. I put attention and make your life easy. I establish rapport and not in a fake way. I do that with every interview because it can be difficult for me and it can be difficult for you to do it. A lot of people doing videos or doing interviews, they feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So that's the things you learn to be a good sales rep. Again, how you sell is not selling. I always say, stop selling, but never stop selling. What do you mean with this? I have done meetings with clients where at the end says, okay, send me the proposal and how much it's going to cost. We never talk about selling. We're talking about rapport. We're talking about working together. I always say to people, are you willing to call your customer in a month and ask how the experience was? Most sales people show me crickets. Says, that's the problem because you're not selling what the customer needs. It's you selling what you want to sell them. People is afraid to buy a car because they have a bad experience. Well, They're both guilty on that because you're going to a car sales dealership waiting to negotiate the price. So you are the one ruining the sales. So the other person reciprocate. So it's an action reaction. Mm-hmm. So that's why they have bad rep, because you always, even though you don't think about it, you know you're going to buy a car asking for a discount. Always happen. People does it. So you know that you need to have a certain personality to be selling cars. Not everybody can do it. You can teach them behavior, but you need to have that jumping in your feet to know how much you can stretch. Now, if you sell in insurance, it's different. If you sell in software, it's different. So you sell what the other person have as a need. Know what you want to sell. That is my best advice to sales rep. Calling, those things are technique that you can manage. But the behavioral power-wise, where you need to know who you have in front of you. And let me tell you, I never, ever had done an advertisement. I never paid for advertisement because I have mouth-to-mouth recommendations. And this time of pandemic, I have more job than I can handle. And we needed to hire new people because now finally people understand that behavioral, it's sometimes even 90% of the sale. Because you need to establish rapport and people is going ballistic and they don't know how to do it.
So that is something that's really interesting, aside from the sales portion, is marketing in general is you are trying to sell people, not sell, but you're trying to portray something like it fulfills a need for a client or fulfills a need for the general audience. So, you know, you mentioned Coca-Cola before, right? So they take a lot of psychological cues where, like, you know, the ads that they run in the summer are you're always around friends, you're around a bonfire, you're around a beach. They're portraying this image of this beautiful night. And the subtle, I guess, psychological message would be, if you drink our product, you will also have these fun times, right? And so I was thinking about like one of the marketing campaigns, like scarcity marketing campaigns, right? Where people choose to deliberately change how people think about a product based on their psychological senses. And these are like cues to them. So, you know, like one that's famous is diamonds, right? Like diamonds were not a precious stone. They were not something that were deemed these, like for engagement rings, they weren't something that were deemed. It was a marketing campaign, I think like in like something like the 30s or 40s, where somebody came up with it, I think De Beers, and they decided to come up on the value that deemed diamonds were valuable. And then that is now a psychological thing that has followed us through generation.
The first thing when you get engaged is, oh, let me see the ring. Ooh, he must like you. The rock is really big. Like, what the heck? I hate Valentine because all the advertisement who come 2 weeks before Valentine is putting all that pressure. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, if I'm not married or engaged, poor guy is supposed to be giving me a ring. It's one of the good examples. I would say one of the things more important about marketing is the storytelling. Mm. If you watch all this commercial, they tell a story. Even the commercial went about laughing. It's like with the story. Everything has to do with the story. The story how is the summers happen. The story how you learn to ride a horse. The story how the company was built. Those are the commercials who really happen. But the funny part is you don't drink Coca-Cola because you see Coca-Cola. You drink Coca-Cola because somebody refers to you. What Coca-Cola does is remind you they're still on the market. So I will not going to drink a soda because I see an advertisement. It's going to be more prom, like I'm going to a party, like, hey, check this Coke and rum. Like, I don't drink soda, but check it, it's really not. Or gin tonic, but because they have the gin. But I wouldn't drink tonic if I don't try it because somebody give it to me. So marketing is the funnel to tell the story and reminding people that you are there. There is a product to sell. That is a story to tell. I always says you sell more telling a story than selling a product just because people Google you, Google your product and Google the company after. So you are the marketing campaign. You are part of the product that you're selling. So I'm not against marketing. Don't get me wrong. We have a marketing manager. What I'm saying is that is the concept we have. Her job is keep the story alive, is to see what are the trends. It's see how we sell our story because you choose to work with us or you choose to work with somebody else because we are not the right company for you. And I don't have any problem with that. And sometimes one of the most difficult things for sales rep is like knowing when you step out, forcing the sales. Oh, I need to sell. I need to make the quota. And like sometimes you need to fire your customers at the same time you need to fire your employees.
And I think people are often just too afraid to do that, right? They're too afraid to pull the trigger because sometimes you run on that mentality that if I don't take this job, if I don't take this sale, I will never have another one, right? And so it is the mentality of, but not every client, not every customer is right for your product, right for your services, right?
Definitely. I always says I put laxative pills in my website and people says, what? Like, yeah. And all the classes I have online, the first two videos is telling you what is the class about, what is the class for, and who is not for. And it says, if you're this and this and this and this, this class is not for you. So save the money because we're not doing money back. So I give you all the chances to understand that you need to have a special type of mentality to understand that how important is behavior. And some people call BS what I do and like, thank you for your opinion. Next, I don't fight. I pick up my customers before I pick my business. If I need three calls to explain what I do, we are not a right match. It's not going to be a relationship that lasts. In my case, I need to work a lot one-on-one with the people when I train because I need to know the pain pill. I need to know the problems. I need to know how many people. We need to do the Myers-Briggs before we start. So it's a lot of interaction. If that interaction is not happening, I fired a couple of weeks ago a big client and people says, are you crazy? Like, nope. I spent the last 6 months babysitting them in a training and they finally decide if they're going to prove it. It's too late. Everything changed it. So everybody want to be cocky. Everybody want to be right. And nobody understand that they call me because they don't have the things right. And says, you know what? How many hours we put in this customer thinking that we're going to have the training and it didn't happen. I personally, I will not going to keep trying with the client. Who want to follow like, and everybody like, oh my God, thank God. We cannot stand this. And I says, why you didn't tell me? Well, because it's one of our biggest customer was one of our biggest customers. If they didn't adapt faster to the needs and they didn't adapt faster to the needs of the employees, and some employees have left already. And the when you have employees who left a company in the middle of a pandemic, you must be doing something wrong. Yeah, definitely.
Oh my gosh, Susan, you've given me so much to think about. I need to set up a different background. I need to put my hands in the view. There's so many different things you've given me to think about, but I love it. Thank you so much for your time today. All right, let's tell everybody though. Let's tell everybody where they can find you, where they can learn more about the wisdom that you're talking about. I mean, I found you on LinkedIn, so I know you're on there, but like, let's give everybody else a preview of where else they can find your information.
We have two companies. One is the consulting and the training that we do with companies. When they hire, like a specific design for them, that is humanbehavioralab.com. And the prepackaged on-demand classes are humanbehaviorhackerschool.com. But both websites are connected because it's happened to us that somebody take one of the classes and tell to their boss, like, oh my God, taking this class, I'm killing the numbers. So they contact us to train all the team through to that. So that's the reason we connect both websites, Human Behavior Lab and Human Behavior Hacker School.
Wonderful. We'll link to it in the show notes so people can find you. Thank you again for your time today, Susan. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to you. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was a fantastic conversation with Susan, guys. I'm so pleased about how that went. And I know me, myself, I took away a lot of tips on just making sure I was genuine and how to prep for video meetings and how to basically change my background from this always white background that everyone always sees. I'm just really fascinated by all the tips and tricks that she gave just about like building rapport and how to read clients and putting in that effort to do the research and then building those relationships. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us on the Content Callout. I really hope you're enjoying these episodes. I'm loving recording them. So if you could please like, subscribe, leave us a rating, share it with your friends and families and everyone you know in marketing, we'd really appreciate it. Have a great day.